Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Thank You So Much, the podcast where we thank you so much.
Yeah.
For sharing your stories.
Thanks for telling us your stories.
Sometimes that's what it means.
Sponsored by Kirkland Signature.
Thank you, Kirkland. The freshest water you'll ever drink.
Also Kirkland. Sponsored by Boochcraft.
Not water, but alcohol. That's right, everyone. Dry January is over. Thank God. That was the longest dry January of my life.
Well, you know, I feel like I was doing so well at the beginning of the year. I had like my priority set. I had like my New Year's resolutions and I was going strong with exercising, and then the fires happened, and then we like did end up drinking, and that just wasn't as planned.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to my exercising.
That's good. I haven't been drinking as much, so I think it was a success.
Yeah, definitely less.
Today we're talking about something really fun that everyone probably, hopefully, over a certain age has gone through.
And breakups.
Yep. A little early.
I thought you were going to say it with me.
Oh, breakups. So we did go out into the field again to research and ask our listeners about their breakup stories. And we're going to go into our breakup stories as well. But first.
I'm Kirsten.
I'm Allie.
And you're listening to
Thank You So Much.
Thank you so much for
breakups.
Do we sound like enthusiastic? I think we don't sound enthusiastic.
Well, breakups aren't enthusiastic.
No, they're kind of sad. They're sad.
So I was trying to sound sad.
Okay.
Yeah. That was my goal.
I was trying to sound like monotone, which is sad.
Sad.
But you know what? I think here's the thing, guys. Our plan for February is that we're going to do, like, it's all about love.
Yeah, February, obviously Valentine's Day is in February.
Well, we're going to alternate the negative and positives of love.
The good and the bads.
Yeah. So we have the bad side. We start with the bad side this week, but next week will be a happier episode.
Because we're bad bitches.
We're bad bitches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're back on our bullshit. We're ready to go. So how was your week, Kirsten? What'd you do? Tell me about it.
I feel pressure.
What happened? Tell me everything. Where were you the night of Saturday, January 27th?
It was
10 o'clock p.m.
Well, on Friday, Langston had a magazine release. Well, their art was in one page of a magazine.
Yeah, so
it's cool, but like it wasn't like a big thing. Like they weren't like showing their art at the event is the point. But it was a cool event. It was in the neighborhood, like 20 minutes walk from our house. So that was nice.
That's always nice.
Yeah. And like a cute little venue. It had like a backyard area with like a bar and like Greek food. It was pretty lit too. There was a lot of people there, but and they had a poetry reading as well. But it was like very like white, lots of white people, which is I'm white, so you know I was one
you
of
are?
Them. I'm white, but I'm a little green today, a little orange.
First
green,
she was
actually.
Orange, then she was green.
We had I don't know what the lighting today is.
Now she's just white.
I'm a white
Hopefully
girl.
A neutral white.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to do some color correction.
Neutral pink. Post.
So but anyway, yeah.
So say it was white again.
It was white.
How white was it?
Very white. There was a lot of white people there, including me. But it just felt like, you know, I like to see intersectionality in art, and it's supposed to be like an art magazine, and there were a lot of like white men specifically. There were women too, but you know.
Well, I guess it's good they got Langston in there then.
Yeah, Langston was their diversity.
Their one diverse
Literally the
artist.
One diversity person.
Wow, good job, guys. Killed it.
But anyway, I think this place, like the owner is trying really hard to make it not gentrification. And so the owner, like, really wants to bring in, like, other cultures. And then also, especially, like, the culture of the area, trying to keep that alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could do an event there.
Yeah, we could.
Because we are the culture of the area.
But it sucks that we're also white.
Yeah, we're also white.
So.
But we got a little bit of diversity because we're neurodiverse.
Neurodiverse.
And gay.
And we're fucking queers. So there's a little there. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe.
But I think we could like bring in a more diverse crowd.
Yeah, we could.
But basically, I mean, like the event was thrown by like a separate, like the magazine.
Oh, you know? And so it was just like his
venue.
Venue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they like rented it from him, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was a tattoo artist. I was going to get tattoos.
They always got the tattoos there.
Huh? I love flash tattoos.
Yeah.
I was going to get one, but I don't know. I didn't love the designs.
Yeah, I got to love the design. Like, I got to see one that stands out, and then I'm down.
Yeah.
Because they're still like $100 to get.
Well, actually, they had a good deal. They had two. If you get 100? Two, then you get, it's $50 each.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so two for 100, I guess.
But two, yeah. But one for 50 is good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I would have done that.
Yeah, well, I just didn't like anything. And then it wasn't bad. Like, none of it was bad art. It was just, like, not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. I was hanging out with my friend who's a couple years older than me last night. She kept on calling me Gen Z, and I was like...
Wait, who?
Lauren.
Lauren's older than us?
Mm-hmm. She's, like, 2 years older than me. So she's 1 year older than you.
Lauren, girly. We are the millennials of all millennials. We are the most millennial of millennials.
Definitely millennial.
We are the millennials of the millennials. Haven't you seen the articles?
But we're like young millennials. We are, if you think about it. Like millennials
go up
to like...
Well, aren't we like right in the middle?
No, I think we're pretty young because millennials go and tell people that were born in like 1980. 1981 to 1996.
Is a millennial. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we are.
Also known as Generation Y, which I didn't know. But yeah, that means that we do have a lot of, or our generation millennials that are like in their 40s.
Yeah, true that. Well, that's fun. Were there drinks and entertainment?
There's a bar and they had this game that you could like close your eyes and pull out colorful balls. And if you got the gold one, you got a free t-shirt or a free edition of the magazine.
Oh.
And we both won.
Oh, okay.
So we got a t-shirt and a magazine.
That's cool.
So that was fun. And then yesterday I went to Mirate.
Oh, we've been talking about going there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the brunch spot?
Yeah, it's a brunch spot, but we didn't go for brunch.
Oh.
And it's also apparently really hard to get a seat. So you have to book like weeks ahead, I think.
Oh.
Because we were like, let's just go and maybe we can get a spot at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. We were able to get a spot at the bar, but, like, we couldn't even order food, so.
You can't order food at the bar?
At one of the bars you can, but the bar that actually had a place to sit, you couldn't.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So, it's cool. We went there, and then we ended up going to good old Fred 62.
Oh, yeah, Fred 62.
Yeah. They have the best milkshakes.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
They have really good milkshakes and everything on their menu.
I made the mistake of eating a little scoop of ice cream the other day.
Just one scoop?
One scoop.
Made you sick?
Made me sick.
Damn. But you have cheese a lot. I see.
I know. I don't know what it is. It's like the real creamy stuff. Ice cream, eggnog, Alfredo sauce. Like, that shit fucks me up.
But cheese is okay.
It's still kind of... in small doses, yeah. I can eat it better than I can ice cream.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, maybe there's like less dairy and cheese.
Probably. I mean, it's just like a lot, probably a lot more like fatty milk in ice cream or something.
Are you telling me that I'm drinking fatty milk?
Yeah, when you eat a milkshake. Yeah, and some cheeses are easier on your stomach because if they're aged longer, they have less lactose.
So you just need that old cheese.
I need that old stinky cheese and that shit.
That'll be
okay.
No
problem.
So how was your weekend?
It was good. This week I feel like I didn't really do a whole lot, but I did see that SZA Keke Palmer movie, One of Them Days.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. Very girly pop. Very LA. Really loved it. And then SZA ends up in Kadar's DMs. Didn't love
what?
That.
What?
SZA.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
SZA.
Whoa.
Because he met her before she got famous and they like followed each other for a little bit. And
what?
Then, yeah.
I didn't know about this.
And then when Kedar got his new Instagram, she didn't follow the new one. Mm. But I think because
she remembered him.
Yeah, I think either because he was in her DMs before or something, like she remembered him.
Wow.
And he had said something like 2 years ago. And do you remember when SZA like outdid Taylor Swift for her album or something? Like she was the number one streamed artist and beat Taylor Swift like for a time.
Vaguely, I guess, yeah.
So Kedar messaged her and was like, yo, like super hella good job like beating Taylor Swift and like you're doing great or something. And she never responded to that. And yeah. Then he posted like about the movie in his story and tagged her. And then she responded to the Taylor Swift thing. And she's like, haha, that's so funny. I'm just now seeing that.
Oh.
And then she posted a picture of her rolling a joint, or it was like a joint on her lap. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really bad, like badly rolled. Like, why would you even post that on Instagram, SZA? That looks crazy.
Yeah.
And Kedar, again, slid in her DMs. And he was like, I can help you roll a better joint than that, fam, or something. And then she said, laughing my ass off. And I'm like, there SZA goes again in my man's DMs.
Well, he's always starting it, though.
I know. And he's like, I'm just trying to be friends. Like, yeah, he I'm is, like, he, yeah, no, no problem.
It's harmless.
It's harmless. It's fine. She's just gorgeous and has a great voice and can act now, too. So
yeah, just multi-talented queen.
Yeah, and, just a multi-talented queen. With a huge ass and nice titties. It's fine, though. I'm super not tripping about
chill,
it.
Very
I'm
chill.
Very chill. Very cool.
Relaxed.
Very cool, calm, collected.
Just make friends.
Just make it's friends, great to make new Kedar. Friends. Love it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, dealt with that this weekend. Yeah. And then that's pretty much it. And then I just, like, went to a hot tub last night with family.
You went to a hot tub last night.
I went to Bridget's house and she has a hot tub. But I think that's pretty much it. I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley, so much so that my thumbs are sore, like the pads of my thumbs kind of hurt. Damn. Yeah, I'm addicted to it. That was my week.
Sounds like a pretty fun week.
Yeah, it was fine.
I want to see that movie.
You should. You'd love it. Like, it's for the girls, for sure. But Kedar saw it twice, so maybe it's not just for the girls.
Yeah. I think if you, like, it's also for just our generation of people, because, like, we grew up on Keke Palmer, and then also most of us love SZA, so.
Yeah, and Kedar was saying how it's, like, so Black LA. Like, everyone who was shown was, like, different types of, like, Black LA people, and he just felt like it was a really good representation. Of everyone and maybe of LA. Yeah, of like LA
as
culture.
LA native. Mm-hmm.
And his mom, Kedar's mom, grew up in the same neighborhood that
the jungle
that it was supposed to take place in. So that was kind of cool too. But we all saw it as a family.
But is it just like, it seems like just like a goofy comedy, right?
It is like a funny comedy, but it's just really good. Like it's funny, it's entertaining the whole way through.
What is the plot?
It's one of them days, girl.
So they're just like having a bad day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just a bad day. And it's bad. But it was really good. Like, I was just entertained the whole time. SZA is a great actress. Like, did not know she could act. Yeah. Everything about it was great. I loved it. And you should watch it.
All right. I will.
Everyone should. And SZA, I'm watching you, girl.
And that's our news report.
I'm watching you. And that's what happened this week.
In the news
of Kirsten and Allie's lives.
In case you were wondering or even wanted to know.
You probably didn't want
to
know.
No, but if you're listening to us, you're buds with us and you wanted to know.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I mean, our fans have said that they like listening to our podcast because it's like listening to your friends and just hanging out with your friends.
Yeah, that's what we want.
And that's our vibe.
That's our vibe. We're just hanging out, being girls.
Yeah, we're just being girly pops. Drinking our booch.
Drinking the booch.
Drinking our booch. Talking about her. Talking about shooting the shit. So we are going to talk about breakups.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really weird because I have gone through some pretty emotional breakups.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been in a lot of really long-term relationships. And there's been a lot of time in between these breakups. And so I don't really remember a lot of the details. Mm-hmm. And like the ones that I would tell. It's like those people are different now. Mm. Like they're not, like maybe they were like not the best people at the time, and neither was I the best person at the time. So it's like I guess my point is I don't have anybody to like drag in the mud.
Mm. I do.
I have like maybe stories I can tell, but yeah, you have more of a person to drag in the mud. So I feel like you should tell yours first.
All right. Okay. So I do have, yeah, I have a few breakup stories that I could talk about. But this one I feel fine talking about because they're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I was dating this guy who I had known in high school. So like I already knew him and we were already friends. We worked together at the same restaurant and we, you know, decided to date and I started to really like him and I thought it was going to be great. And by the third month.
Was he the cook and you were the waitress?
Yep. How'd you know?
I mean, that's just the typical way things go.
That's what it was. I was the waitress. He was the cook. So he, after 3 months, we dated for 8 months. After 3 months, I wanted the fuck out of this relationship. Like, really internally, I did. But this was my first time, like, being manipulated by a man in such a way that, like, every time I would try to break up with him, he would, like, somehow turn it around on me.
Gaslighting.
And make me feel like the bad one and then make me feel bad for even trying to break up with him. And then actually he should break up with me because I'm the terrible one. And then I was young and I was like, okay. And I just stayed with him, like, for way too long. And throughout our whole relationship, it was very...
Well, were you in high school? No.
No, I was like 22 or 23.
Okay.
And...
Was this after your mom died?
Yes. After my... So I had moved back to Charleston after my mom died. So this is when we started dating. And so throughout our relationship, it was very toxic. Like, very toxic. He was very... insecure about literally everything about himself. He always thought I was cheating on him with everyone.
But like there was like no reason.
No reason. It. I never cheated on him. I never gave him a reason to not trust me.
Yeah.
He was convinced that I liked another server at the restaurant.
Did you?
Nope.
Are you sure?
This guy didn't even, he was like super religious, did not even drink alcohol. Like,
so it wouldn't be somebody that you would date.
Would not be someone I would, like, not that that's bad, but we just
like you don't have a lot of common.
Yeah, we weren't like compatible.
Yeah,
in most ways. Yeah, no, I like and anybody that he like thought, and you know, I think it was his insecurities because this guy was like really tall, and my boyfriend was not at the time, and like he just had insecurities, you know. And if I would talk to any man, he would like automatically think I was flirting with him, or I was cheating on him with him, or anything like that. So it was just toxic.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point, like he started getting mad that I was hanging out with my friends, just like my normal girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Like he'd be like, you're hanging out with her too much. Like that's
did
my
he
best
not
friend.
Have a lot of friends?
He does.
So
he
lived in he's also hanging out with his friends.
He lived in a whole house full of dudes.
Okay.
And like, yeah, no, he had a ton of friends, but for some reason, you know, he was just really controlling. So 8 months later, oh, also I found something in his phone about wanting to hook up with somebody while we were dating. So.
And you never actually like said anything like that in your phone. And he was actually saying that to other mm-hmm. people. So it's like, really, he's the one that was probably like being a little cheaty.
Mm-hmm.
And was, like, it's always people that cheat that like mm-hmm. accuse
yep.
you.
Yeah. And I don't know if he actually cheated on me, but he was texting a girl when we were out of town one time for like a trip, like a little
weekend
trip.
He almost did anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he was sus. And then, so what led to us breaking up was the same guy from the restaurant that I worked at who he thought I was convinced I was cheating on him with this guy who we have nothing in common.
Yeah.
But this guy, we'll call him John.
Frederick.
This guy, Frederick, who we worked with, who Steven is the man I dated.
And that's his real name.
Steven
what?
Steven.
That's a weird name. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss character.
Well, he's goofy, so should be.
So Frederick lived right above my friend Megan. They lived in the same apartment complex, but he lived in the apartment above her. And Megan was having a game night. And Megan worked with us too. So like we all know each other. Megan was having a game night. I went to the game night. I invited Steven to the game night. I was like, you should come. And yeah. He was like, no, because if Frederick's there, I don't want to see him.
Why?
And I was like, well, I don't know if he's going to be there, but he is friends with Megan and he does live in the same complex. So yeah. There's a chance he might. He
could be there, but
yeah. So I went to the game night and then turns out Steven walked like a mile in the cold to see if Frederick's car was outside of his own apartment.
He should have just gone. Like, that's so stupid. Just go to the party if you're like that concerned about it. Like,
yeah. He even like talked to Megan about it too. Like she was like, yeah, Ali's here, you know?
Wait, like he called her or like?
I forget.
Why did he walk in the snow? Were you like not answering your phone maybe?
I don't remember the circumstances, but all I know is he walked to the house and texted me and said, Frederick's car is out front. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. He lives here. And then he was so convinced that I actually didn't go to Megan's house. She was
just hanging out.
She was covering for me.
Oh my God.
And I was actually at Frederick's house cheating on him.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was so done with the relationship at this point, and I didn't know how to get out of it because every time I tried to get out of it, he would gaslight me and like make me feel bad and manipulate me into staying with him. So I was like, you know what? Yep.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Breakup. And I was very like stone face. Like,
oh, so you, yeah. So you were just like, oh, actually you're, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I was like, yep.
Because you're just over the.
Yeah, I was so over it. And I was like, yep, let's break up. And he was like, but like, obviously didn't want to break up. But I was like, no, let's break up. Like, let's break up. I cheated on you. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yeah, that's what's happening. And I think I was probably like, I didn't. But if that's what you think, yeah, sure, I did. So let's break up. And then we did break up. And that was cool. I finally got out of it. I was very happy about it. It sounds crazy to say like I couldn't get out of it. But I really like. It was such a manipulative.
Well, it sounds like every time you did try to, he would like kind of turn it on you. Also, you were young, so it's like harder to like.
This was my first experience with someone like this. So I think it did teach me a lesson. I think I went through it in order to have that lesson taught to me because sometimes I'd be like, why can't the girl just leave, you know? Yeah. And now I get it. I super get it. So after we broke up, me and my friend moved into an apartment together and I was moving a couch and I had two dudes helping me move the couch because I'm just a girl.
Just the and
after we moved it, we were all just chilling, like watching TV, like hanging out in my new apartment. And I hear these little crunches in the snow outside of the apartment. Like, is somebody walking in the snow? So I look out and it's my ex, Steven Sneed, who went out of his way to walk through the snow to the house I just moved into to look in the window to see if I had anyone over.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he denied it. I was like, I saw you outside of my apartment. He's like, no. I'm like, yeah. He's like, no. And then he was like, fine, well, yeah, but I was already in the neighborhood. I'm like, okay.
He's crazy, like actually insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cut to recently, he actually just went to jail for domestic abuse.
So you dodged a bullet.
I did, and I always knew he was crazy, and he's one of those guys who's like, he's so funny, and he does comedy around town, and he's like a bartender at the most popular bar that my friends go to, and everyone
sometimes comedians are toxic.
They are, always. Yeah. And like everyone's like, oh, he's so funny, da da da, and I'm just like, no, he's not. He's a terrible, terrible person. He treats women like shit.
Now there's proof,
and even though there's proof, there's still people defending him.
Oh my God.
Like, well, it takes two to tango.
Well, if there's a lawsuit, you could be a witness.
I know, and I will be a witness because you're insane.
You could
Steven.
Be yeah
and
yeah.
You we know what you did and
we know what you did.
Yeah, it, there's no
and
excuse.
Believe women when it comes to
believe women when it comes to because he's a fucking crazy psycho.
Well, do you know like the details?
I
of,
do
like, so what happened?
Well, I don't want to say it, but it was bad what he did. It doesn't take two to tango. It takes one person, and it's and you're a piece of shit.
bad guy.
Yeah. Bad so guy. I just feel validated. Like, unfortunately, I don't want to, like, I'm not like, yay.
You're not, of course, not happy that
now
that
everyone
happened.
Knows. Like, yeah. I'm not happy it happened, but it is really validating for me when I've been telling people for so long, like, this guy sucks. Like, he's not a good person.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, the veil has come down and everyone's seeing you for who you are.
Yeah.
And fuck you. So that's my story.
Well, fuck him. So we had to change locations. And it's all Steven's fault, really.
It's all Steven's fault.
We can blame him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to change locations. So now we're in another room and we're not recording the video, but that's okay.
That's okay.
But anyway, so we do have some stories. We went to 4100 and we did our little thing where we made a sign and made awkward eye contact with people until they told us their story.
Yep.
And our sign said something like, worst breakup ever. Tell us about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it worked.
It did. It did. So our first person that we got a story from was our demographic.
Mm-hmm.
They're self-proclaimed ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Queer.
Queer girly pop.
Yep.
Like us.
Yep. So it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, let's get into it. Let's hear her story, and then we'll give you guys our reaction.
It all starts in the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area, in an incredibly Christian home, borderline culty, looking back on it. My dad is a pastor for a small church, so it could have been worse. I have four siblings. There's a lot of us. We were homeschooled.
Oh, shoot.
I was not socialized a lot as a kid, which was probably part of me not realizing that I was gay. So I went to a Christian college. I didn't stop being a Christian or realize I was gay until I started going to college. Because summer after I graduated high school, I became friends with a girl who went to my high school. We were both going to the same college. We clicked and connected immediately. We went to a grad night trip together. We were on a bus next to each other for 8 hours, and it was just like instantaneous besties, right? We get to college for 3 months. We get to college, like within 2 days, we're just making out. I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. That was the good, it was like the first few months that were perfect in the sense that, like, I was a devout Christian and she was a devout Christian and we both thought we were going to hell because we were doing this.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of things wrong with it. She went to the school that I was homeschooled through, so I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. She also didn't really have a lot of friends growing up. It was like that loneliness connection type thing. Yeah. Immediately we got codependent from the very beginning. Even when we were friends, we were codependent. It was bad from the very start. I was writing a paper at the time in freshman year about what makes a Greek tragedy a tragedy, like what defines it. And I was using Aeschylus's Oedipus for that and Antigone. And the definition that I came up with was you're going down a bad path. You're going down the path towards something that will destroy you or hurt you. And you have all of these opportunities from different people in different places where you can get out of it, and you, like, refuse. Like, you choose to refuse and make those conscious choices to refuse. So I was looking at it through this lens the whole time where I was like, I'm a Christian. I told her at one point, I belong to God. Yeah. So we can't be together because I belong to God.
So, like, you know,
and I'm going
is,
down
like,
this
spinning.
Bad path. Yeah. So it was really confusing for me. It was really confusing for her. We were codependent. We lived in the same dorm room. So we lived together at this point. Christians don't think that being gay exists.
Yeah.
Like, Christians think that it's, there's no identity factor for a Christian as far as, like, the definition of what being gay is. It's just you're choosing to do gay things, and that makes you gay.
It's a choice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Christians don't even believe in gay people. So if you're a Christian and you're obviously, like, a devout Christian at this school, and you're, like, close with another girl, nobody's gonna be like, you're gay. Because everybody's like, you can't, nobody's gay. Anyway, so we have this big conversation at the end of the first semester after a few months of, like, it being great and us just ignoring the fact that we have all these issues. We're on the beach. She pretends to propose to me.
Whoa.
I freaked the fuck out. I knew she was joking because I didn't think that that would, like,
yeah,
we didn't talk.
Like,
that
crazy.
Would be insane. Like, yeah, I didn't think that that logically could happen. Yeah. There are, like, people in view, and I get embarrassed because we're both, like, in the closet at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right? And so we sit on the beach and we start talking about it, like, actually for real at this point. And she is like, I see you as like somebody that I want to marry and have kids with, and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And that's when I told her, I can't because I belong to God.
Oh, so she was ready before you were.
And he's going to take me back at some point. It was bad. My dad was a pastor. I grew up thinking that either I was a Christian or I was going to hell. Yeah. There was all these like logic things about it. I was homeschooled, so I was isolated in a space where like everything I learned was back to that. Culty, right? She was really sad about that. We walked back to my car. I'm leaving. I get a flat tire. So we're sitting on the curb, both sobbing, waiting for the tow truck to come back. That's not the end of the story. That was like the first pinnacle.
Yeah.
After that, we're on and off basically for like a year and a half, 2 years, because we just, you know, first love, especially realizing that you're gay, being that codependent, being like a lot really lonely growing up and that kind of thing. Like it's just a lot to escape from at that point, especially after you've already had it. And so it was difficult to get out. And then the second semester after I had told her that I belonged to God, we then became roommates. So we were like, we're just going to be friends again. It didn't happen. It's a lot of back and forth.
Yeah.
After a certain point, it was like, I need to just get away from this girl. Like, we can't escape each other's orbits. Maybe we just need, like, physical distance. We lived in the same dorm room. We lived in the same dorm. Like, that kind of thing. I was trying to get out, but she kept pulling me back in every, like, few months, every 5 months or so. She would text me right when I was about to forget her. It got to a point where, like, our RD knew that something was up. We were allowed to be gay on campus, too. We signed a contract. That was part of it.
The RD
wasn't necessarily concerned about that. She was an ally. But she was concerned that this was, like, an unhealthy relationship, because obviously it was. Disclosed that information to my ex. I didn't talk to her. My ex didn't tell me that. And then for that entire second half of the relationship, she was sneaking me out of campus to hang out. And I was just being dragged along back and forth. And we would stop talking. And then she would call me after 5 months. And then she would drag me around a little bit.
It
was difficult. It was really difficult.
Because you love her.
It was like, this is the first person I've been this close to before my entire life. It was really hard because I was having an identity crisis at the time. I didn't make a lot of friends the first semester because we were so like attached to each other and codependent and that kind of thing. Really bad. So by the end of sophomore year, we lived in the same building, but we didn't live in the same room at that point. I was really sad, lonely. I was living with a girl I didn't know. And I was trying to do all, I was in film school, so I was on sets a lot. I was trying to do more sets and stuff like that, kind of get more integrated and that kind of thing. And at the end of every set, she would pull up and she'd be like, you want to get McDonald's? And I would give in. Yeah, it was bad. But finally, I talked to the RD. The RD put all these things on the table, like, maybe this is bad. I was like, yeah, at some point this needs to change because it's just wrecking the both of us, right? And so I went to housing. I looked for an open spot in a room all the way across campus to see if physical distance could help. I moved out. She begged me not to move out. And I'm like, at this point, we're not dating. Like, why are we holding on to it? Like, it's irreparable at this point. Like, it's not able to be fixed. I move all the way across campus. I meet some of my best friends that I had in college. She texts me when I first move in. And she's like, how's it going? And I go, these might be the nicest people I've ever met. I love them. We all started, like, watching stuff together. They invited me into their friend group, like, immediately. And then we didn't talk again after that. She just, I think she like was like, oh, she seems content and happy without me. And that's it. We have talked since then. Okay. We tried to start something up again during COVID. It was bad and weird. It lasted for a week and then we stopped. Mm-hmm. And then she would text me periodically or call me. I gave her a bunch of dating advice at one point because, you know, she's calling you. You're like, I don't even know.
Well, she's like dating
She's like
girls,
asking other people. Like, and I'm like, why are you doing, like, I'm giving her advice and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, she's dating somebody else now. I saw her recently so we went to the same high school. We had the same friends freshman year of college. So I wasn't friends with them after that because she spread a bunch of shit about me. That's a whole other story. But I've since gotten back into contact with them. And so I see her at events every once in a while.
So she's here.
Well, I live in Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
So in the Long Beach area. Yeah, she's like an OC right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for
Thank you.
It was nice to meet her. I enjoyed that conversation.
I think that was a cute story because it was like a breakup, but like from her first real, like, oh shit, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm in college. I'm actually gay.
Like coming of age kind of
kind
of thing. And like maybe they were always just meant to be friends, but also like this is the person that like made her realize that she's gay.
Yeah, so it's like a big part of her life, like this particular person.
But it sounds like her friend does like continue to reach out to her, and like she's like, I like that she's kind of like holding that boundary for herself to like not like like bring it back in, but like it seems like her friend almost like hasn't completely moved on. That's what it sounds like to me. But
I mean, that could be true. I mean, a lot of people don't move on from like their first love, especially if it's your first like queer love.
Yeah.
I feel like people hold on to that a lot. So that would make sense, like if she hasn't moved on. But yeah, it sounds like from her side, she hasn't. She kind of still wants to like talk to her and and be connected to her in some way.
Yeah. My current partner's ex, like, to this day calls them crying. Well, no, not to this day. Actually, like, it was when we first started dating.
I didn't say
she called them crying about a guy that she was dating. And that was, like, when we first started dating, which was maybe 3 years ago. But and I think that was both of their first love because they dated in high school. And so, like, yeah, that comes back to that idea of, like, your first love. Yeah.
It's special. Like, it's important. Yeah. Like, it's an important person in your life, no matter if you're still talking to them or not. It's just, a memory that you're going to have forever.
My first love had already been in love before. But what about you? Like, your first love?
I don't know if he had been in love before, but I still, like, you know, even though he cheated on me, I still, like, think about him and hope he's doing well, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was my first love, so.
That is going to be, actually, it's, like, a good segue to, like, what our next episode is going to be about. But stay tuned for that.
Yeah,
my story, I feel like the person never was, like, abusive in that kind of way, so I feel a little bad about, like, calling out them out by name. But who knows? I guess my disclaimer right now is they used to be like a raging alcoholic, but always like a friendly guy, like like the friendly like neighborhood guy, but also like admittedly a cheater. Like, he would admit to all his friends that he was like cheating. And
why would you admit that? Like, that's embarrassing. Well,
he would like confide, like, he would get drunk and like confide in people.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And just, like, tell his dirty secrets to people,
wow,
you know?
What an idiot.
Yeah. I guess that maybe, like, shows that he is, like, a nice guy. Like, not, like, psychopathic.
Yeah. Like, his intentions aren't, like, evil. It's just he might just be stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes, made really dumb decisions and, like, hurtful decisions.
Yeah.
Hurt people a lot. But now is sober. And I don't know if he's still a cheater, but I'm going to assume he changed his ways. Let's just hope that he did change his ways, because I know that he's sober now, at least like from alcohol, and seems to be doing okay. I don't know. I don't really talk to him. I just like kind of know through other friends. But anyway, I dated him, and the whole way that like we started dating was kind of messed up too, because he had just gotten out of a relationship, and like I was one of the people that he confided in that he cheated on her. Like, he had cheated on her a bunch, like, and he told me that. And so I like knew that he was a cheater and a drunk, but I was also, I don't know, just not the healthiest person myself at that time. And so we started dating like pretty quickly, like after he broke up with that girl, which now me and that girl are like pretty good friends. At the time, we were just like, we knew each other through him. But I don't know really like what to say about the relationship very much. It's just like, it was like we were really in love at first, and then we started fighting a lot, and we both drank a lot. But I think that he was the one that had more of a problem than I did. But I think I was pretty toxic too, like with my drinking at that time.
Were you in, was this in Indiana?
Yeah, this is in college.
Oh, okay.
So it was like my senior year of college. Well, you know what? Because he was a year older than me. So I was finishing off my final semester, and he was already graduated, but for some reason still there. In any case, so he was just like hanging around the town. Maybe for me, I guess. Like, I guess the thing was, okay, yeah, now that I'm talking it through, I'm like remembering things more. I think the thing is, like, we started dating like right after he graduated. And or like maybe like right around the same time that he graduated, and I still had like one more semester of classes, and so he stayed because of me, I guess.
Okay. Yeah,
but also maybe had like no other like job prospects or stuff to go do something. He didn't know what he was doing yet. But it turned out, like, we would just drink a lot. And, like, in the end, like, I knew towards the end, like, when I was getting ready to graduate, like, I knew that I was going to move to California because I had gotten, well, like, I had gotten an internship that was supposed to start, like, after.
In the Bay Area.
In the Bay Area, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was the plan. He was actually going to maybe come out with me. And, I met his whole family. Like, they were really sweet people. Just, like, a nice, like, wholesome, like, Midwestern family. Mm-hmm. And, like, they, like, gave me nice, cute little Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. And
how long were you together?
Like, two years? I don't even know. I, like, really blacked this time out in my life. I, like, definitely over a year, maybe 2 years.
Okay.
I think it, like, kind of lasted longer than it was supposed to, because basically what happened in the end was, like, we were planning on, like, going together to California, and I don't know where on the timeline this happened. Maybe he could remember more, but he probably doesn't because he was a drunk at the time. Mm-hmm. He was out at the bar, and I was home, and he came home and told me that he had kissed a girl at the bar, and I was pissed. Oh, and it was this, God, like, leopard print dress girl. Oh, and I was like, she's trashy.
She's a cheetah girl.
Yeah.
That's how you know.
And I feel like leopard print or cheetah print or whatever, that print is, like, cool now, but in 2012
it was not.
That was like, you looked like white trash.
Yeah,
at that time. Like, yeah, in 2012 that was like, you look like a small town girl. You look like you don't know anything about fashion. Mm-hmm. You look not good.
I remember people had, like, leopard print tattooed on them.
Ew.
Yeah, in my beauty school. And I was like,
Zebra print was in.
It was
leopard
in.
Leopard print was out.
Leopard print was out. Zebra was in. Now it's the opposite.
The cool girls knew. Yeah,
now it's the opposite.
Yeah. But if you know, you know. Around 2012, you know, 13.
You're a trashy ass bitch if you're over here wearing leopard print dresses.
Because it was, well, this was probably 2014. So, yeah, 2014, nobody's wearing leopard print.
Yeah, get with it, girl.
So, anyway, they kissed, and he told me, and I got, like, really mad. I was, like, laying in my bed, and I remember, like, kicking him, like, out of the bed. And
you're
being like,
fuck you.
Yeah, literally, like, fuck you, like, go away, we're broken up. And I guess that's when we broke up, but, like, I think that we maybe, like, kind of continued our relationship after. I really don't remember what happened, but that's, like, an emotional thing that happened. And then like, after that, he was gonna come to California. I don't know. Because I feel like that's when we broke up, was because he kissed another girl. But maybe we did, like, rekindle things or, like, something. Maybe we were, like, broke. I don't know. But I also remember the reason, like, we were going to go to California together, and then he was like, no, I got a really good job at a restaurant.
Oh, so yeah,
I'm
gonna
stay
that guy
here.
You told me about that guy?
Yeah. He was like, I got a really good, like, a really nice restaurant in Indiana. I'm a cook there. And,
like, okay.
Yeah.
You
and
could
it's
do
like,
that.
He was, like, a sociology degree, so it's like, okay, yeah,
okay,
sure.
You're just going to stay in Indiana for your restaurant job that you could get in the Bay Area, and also
it would be, like, way
possibly
better there.
Get a degree job, like, in there. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, but cool. No, he was like, no, this is, I can't pass this up.
Some people just love.
They know, yeah. I think he was definitely just, like, afraid to leave and didn't. And so I left, but I think that we actually did kind of continue our communication, like, when I remember, like, we were still, like, maybe saying I love you, like, when I was in California.
Mm-hmm.
So we still, like, kind of talked.
Yeah.
So that was toxic in, like, that kind of sense. And I was, like, isolated, too. I was in San Francisco, but, like, across the bridge. So I was, like, living in a park, which was, like, very isolated. And I didn't have a car. So, like, there wasn't really, like, dating prospects for me there.
Yeah.
So,
once a cheater, always a cheater, though.
I know, right? Like, I should have known. But I don't know. I don't know if he cheats anymore. I hope he doesn't.
Honestly, that was one lesson I had to learn back in the day. It was like, okay, if he's cheating, which I know he didn't cheat on someone with you.
Yeah.
But if he cheated on someone with you, he's going to cheat on you later as well.
Yeah.
So that's a lesson.
Or if he was, like, cheating a lot before in his previous relationship.
Then he's probably going to cheat on you, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they, anybody. Like, I don't know. I just feel like cheaters, after a certain point in your life, you should probably grow up and not do that.
Yeah. Especially if the cheater, like, I think if somebody, I think to like really get out of like a cheater mindset, you have to be like single for a while.
Yeah.
And he was like relationship hopping a lot.
Yeah. Like, see, you got to have time to like explore yourself
like
and
reflect.
And also have like weird hookups and one night stands and stuff like that. And if you don't get to experience that, you're going to feel like you're missing out. And then you're in a relationship again. And then it's you need that time.
Continues. Yeah.
Because you got to get it out of your system.
Definitely.
In my opinion.
Well, yeah, I don't know, like, if everybody needs that, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I had, like, enough of that.
I got everything out of my system.
Yeah, me too.
I'm good now.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, if I were ever to, like, get single again at this age, like, what would I even do? Because it's weird being, like, in your 30s mm-hmm. and single.
Yeah.
I think I would probably just date women.
Yeah, same.
Because I'm done with men. Like, men are too hard to...
They're dumb.
Trust.
They cannot be trusted, these men. But, I mean, yeah, that's honestly, like, because I was single in my 30s, and I...
Yeah, you were. You were, like, 32.
Yeah, and I met Kadar, and then literally right after that, I put all my dating apps onto women only.
Yeah, so he, like, barely slid in.
Barely made the cut.
Yeah.
Slid in there. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
He was raised by a lesbian.
Yeah, that's so it's like
close
it makes
enough.
Sense. Yeah,
close enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Of course, I ended up with another man.
Yeah, we found somebody else at 4100. This one was kind of interesting because we made eye contact. There was like a group sitting next to us at the table, sitting next to us, and it was just like a big group of friends, and like you could tell they were all there to like celebrate something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we made eye contact with one girl, and then she kept like kind of like pointing at her friend, and her friend was the one that had a breakup story, and turns out he is moving away.
Mm-hmm.
But the person that he was supposed to be getting together with when he moved back home
ends up breaking up with him,
and this happened like a week ago, so this is like pretty recent,
very fresh, and they were all celebrating him leaving.
Yeah, like it was like his going away party.
Yeah, it was his going away party, which he thought he was going back to a girl, and turns out she broke up with him and said no.
Yeah, you guys will hear the story. So
all right,
so we have our new friend Calvin here, who has a story about a breakup.
What's
and,
up?
Yeah, so where does it start?
Dude, where do I start? Do I have to give like the whole story of the relationship?
Well, how did you guys meet?
Okay, we met, so I'm not from LA. I moved to LA in 2022, and we met actually, I moved from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
That's where I'm from originally. So about 2 weeks before I moved, I met this girl. We'll call her Patricia.
Ooh. Why did I have that name in my head?
This is some psychic
seriously?
Shit.
I'm telling you, I thought Patricia.
Yeah.
I said Patricia in my head, and then you said, I'm just saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm psychic. That's all I'm saying.
So, this girl, Patricia, we met at a friend. It was half going away party for me, half game night. Like, we made it fun. And she was a friend of this friend, but I had never met her before. And we had went to the same high school, but we were in different classes, so we didn't interact in the same circles kind of thing.
Same grade?
No.
Oh, totally.
She was like a few years after me. I didn't know this at the time. We hit it off, but I told her, I was like, I'm moving in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
If I could get, if I could get your like TikTok or something or anything. I didn't get anything that night.
Okay. So you just like talked and that's it.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just move to LA, completely single, clean slate. In LA, nothing. Nothing happening for
really?
Me. Yeah.
You're an attractive man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Meet people though, but, like when you first come here.
Yeah. And yeah. I literally just moved. I just started my job in person. It was a like return to office kind of move.
Uh-huh.
So I was going to the office for the first time, meeting a lot of people. I work in entertainment. So there's a lot of people at mixers, that kind of stuff, getting used to like being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first time I moved outside.
You're networking.
Yeah.
Good.
Moving and shaking. I'm 26.
Okay.
Yeah, fun times.
Yeah.
Fun times. So I was like embracing being single, finding myself, that kind of thing. And later that year, Patricia, pops up on my TikTok, because, you know, TikTok is like,
the algorithm.
This is a friend of your friend,
yeah,
or something like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I'm like, oh, this is that girl. Yeah. And at that point, I'm like, man, nothing's happening for me in LA. Maybe we could connect in Atlanta. And I DM her, and she's like, yeah, I'd love to. We meet up when I go back home for Christmas, and we go on 2 dates, very nice dates.
That's sweet.
We end up hooking up, and then, but at that point, I'm like, oh, man, like, okay, that was just a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Literally a week after, because she has a friend, I find out that she works in theater, so she has a theater friend that lives out here that she was planning to see, like, originally. She comes out to L.A. a week later. We see each other again. Yes.
Okay.
We see each other a second time. Hook up a second time.
Uh-huh.
But then after that, I'm like, man, that was really nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know where this is going to go. Yeah.
Nice to have a connection, but you still live, like, across the country.
Right. So.
Story is all this time.
So about 2 weeks into last year, Patricia texts me and it's like, hey, I felt like we had a connection and I'd love to like explore that a little bit more, even if it's long distance.
Okay.
Cool, but
you've also felt the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was up from her. I was like, you know, these are my work hours. If you're fine staying up late, that's cool. But she was like, that's what I normally do.
Time zone shit too. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, but she was fine with it. So January to May of last year, we were talking pretty much consistently, pretty much. So then for my birthday, we had planned, my birthday's in May, we had planned to meet up in Nashville to see each other again.
Okay.
So we meet up in Nashville and I'm like, man, this connection thing is like really, really crazy.
Yeah.
So then after that, I'm like, would you want to do this? Like, seriously, like, no, like exclusively,
yeah,
like long distance. Right. So we did. We were long distance from May through last Saturday.
Okay, so this is like
recent.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. We had saw each other about 2 or 3 times in between that time. Mm-hmm. And the last time I was in Atlanta for Christmas, we had a whole like family get together. We had a whole thing recently.
And so you met each other's family. And
yes.
Stuff. Okay.
We had a whole thing. But yeah, I get back and at this Christmas thing, I had made the decision to move back home, which is where we're at now. This is my going away party.
Oh!
So I moved back home on Saturday. Yeah.
For her or just like?
No.
Just like was, for
I had also like got let go from my job. And
yeah,
I was also like, sense. I don't know if this is the right career path.
So all your friends at this table are here for you.
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay.
So, but part of the deal, like the icing on the cake, was that I would be closer to Patricia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this whole time, she's like, I can't wait for you to come back. I can't wait to, like, just be cuddled up and see each other more often.
Like, actually be together. Yeah.
Exactly. Have a real relationship. Last week, I don't know if you guys saw in the news, but it snowed in the southeast, like, on the Gulf Coast. Really bad.
In Georgia?
Yeah. It snowed. This is actually the second time in, like, a couple months it snowed.
That doesn't really happen ever.
It doesn't. So, my Patricia...
Uh-huh.
She stayed at a friend of hers.
Okay.
Because the musical she was working on was like away from the city. Would have been a long drive back home.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay.
She stayed with a friend and I wanted her to be safe.
Yeah.
All of that. This was Tuesday of last week.
Oh my God. Okay. This is
so then Thursday, the Oscar nominations come out.
Uh-huh.
And I'm texting her like, what the fuck, Amelia Perez got 14 fucking nominations.
Yeah,
like, what the
was,
fuck is this?
Oh, my God.
Thursday, I'm texting her all this. TikToks, Twitter, nothing. No communication.
She's
no
ghosting you?
But she's working.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
she usually calls me at some point. She calls me at 9 o'clock California time, which is midnight at Eastern,
yeah,
Eastern time.
Yeah, the middle of the night. Or on a Wednesday.
This on Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
And she's like, hey, I'm sorry. I've, you know, had to stay a while at this musical because they were opening the next day or two. So they had, like, a lot of notes, that kind of stuff. And she didn't feel like talking that night. She'll call me in the morning.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay,
she's
you know,
tired.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Friday comes. Still no communication. known anything. And I end up calling her and I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, are you doing anything today? Like, what's going on? And she's like, yeah, I've just been sick at home, like not doing anything. But I'm on the way to work, so I can't really talk right now. And because the show was opening soon, she was like, I'll probably have to talk to you on Monday.
So she's being kind of dismissive.
Whoa. Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
yeah.
Am I on this? That's why I start getting the feeling. And I don't know if you guys been dumped before, but you start getting that feeling.
No, yeah, no. Yeah, so, you start to feel like, okay, this is...
Like, something's up. Like, and so,
yeah.
I'm feeling that, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to force somebody to dump me. I'm going to let whatever happens, happens. So, I'm like, journaling. I journal. And yeah, I was like, you know, just getting out those feelings. And I'm expecting to not hear from her the rest of the weekend. She calls me. She calls me the next day. Very small talkish, very HR tone. I'm sure you know.
Oh, it's like when you're about to get fired from a job.
Yes.
Kind of shit.
No. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then she hit me with like, "Hey, I don't think I want to be your girlfriend anymore." And when I asked why, I'm like, "What? Like, what made you come to this conclusion?"
Yeah.
And she was like, "When she stayed at her friend's house from the snow, she I guess realized that she had been maybe." Acting like she was okay with some things that she wasn't. And she told me that I was treating her more like an emotional support system than a romantic interest. Also, my long distance girlfriend, where I can't see you that often. Yeah.
The only connection you can have long distance is actually talking to
him. Talking to somebody.
Exactly.
We had discussed this before, my friend. We had discussed this. We had this conversation.
Yeah.
We've talked about this all the time. And we talked about how much our emotional system was so strong.
Yeah, because and like, we built it on top. Her too.
To not tell the truth for a couple months after I had already met her mom, and I love her mom. Yeah. I already met her cousins.
I'd already been. Family,
so, and I'm moving back.
Yeah.
To me, that says that she was happy with you being long distance. And now that you're moving back, she's freaking out. And it's
that's
real.
That's my conclusion.
And she's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Oh shit.
I was like, I think it's a little too serious for her right now.
Yeah.
And I've honestly, no sweat off my back because it has nothing to do with me.
No,
frankly.
Yeah, that's like a really mature way to think about it because it's like something that she's dealing with herself. Like,
Has literally zero to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm moving back home.
You seem like a nice guy. You seem like you were a good boyfriend to her. Has nothing to do with
it. I like to think so. This was like the breakup before. This breakup was my like first adult breakup, so that was really hard. So this one was more like that's fucked up. This was my first real like damn. Like I didn't. Nobody's ever broken up with me like that.
She should have maybe brought something up sooner, and she didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've known about this girl for a long time. I heard nothing but like great roses and rainbows.
Great things
about this woman.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And she wasn't saying something.
Blindsight.
This woman blindsided my boy. I'm gonna keep it honest, but I'm like, it's not my fault that somebody got cold feet.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that somebody doesn't want like a serious relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Actually, because I'm of the mindset that like when stuff like this happens, it's not really rejection; it's redirection. And like, part of this is because I also lost my job. So part of this is like stuff being moved out the way of my life. So what I really want comes in.
Yeah.
I feel so free.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm 26. I'm a good guy.
You're a good guy.
Things are going to be all right for me, guys. Don't worry about me, listeners out there. I'm going to be all right. I don't want anybody to worry about me. It's the worst breakup because of the way she did it. Fuck her.
Yeah.
But me, personally,
you'll be fine.
We're taking shots over here, dude. We're drinking. It's a good time. It is a good time. I hope you guys have a good night. I hope everybody has a good night.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
So I do want to point out that at the beginning of that story, you psychically guessed the same like fake name to give.
Let me just tell you, when Pisces season gets closer and closer, I get more psychic and psychic.
So you are psychic.
I ain't even surprised. But yeah, I was thinking of a fake name and I was like, Patricia in my head. And then he said it and I was like, holy shit. And I was drunk. So obviously I was like, holy shit.
No, but like that is pretty crazy. And I feel like maybe you kind of telepathied him a little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah. But he seemed like such a sweet guy, and I'm really sad that that happened to him.
That's just like so weird, especially to be like, I can't talk to you for the whole weekend. Like, no, girl, you're going to send me like a text.
Yeah, it's also weird, like so close to the time. Like, she was definitely avoiding him. That's and definitely should have talked to him, like, after she talked to her friend that night. Like, she got snowed in or whatever. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, she probably really enjoyed the long-distance dynamic. And then now that he's moving back, she's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, we don't know her. But to me, it sounds like she, she like, was liking that. And then it's like, oh, I don't actually want him to be here.
Yeah, it's like, whoa. This person just gives me a confidence boost. Like, I don't know. I don't know, like, the full depth of the story, but it is really sad. But it was sweet that his friends, I don't know if you guys heard the other voices in there, but he had some of his friends come sit at the table, and, like, and one of his friends was saying, like, that's the first time he heard about the story, too, because it was so recent. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it just happened, and, like, he's moving back, like, this week, I think, is what he said. So
He might already be gone now. I don't know if he's ever going to hear this, because he has, we didn't, we weren't good about, getting his contact afterwards, but thank you for sharing your story, my friend. If you are listening to this, I hope things are thriving for you in Atlanta. And
there's a lot of people in Atlanta.
And a good girl. And
there's a lot of fish in the sea in Atlanta. And you deserve a good girl and all the love. So.
Yeah, you'll find it. You'll find it.
And he's young, like I said. He's 26, so he's got it.
He'll figure it out.
He'll figure it out.
But I guess with that, that kind of concludes this episode. This is a little bit of a longer episode, but we'll see how it goes after we edit it. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And we'll hear you next, or we'll see you next week.
Yep. Follow us on Instagram. Thank you so much, Pod. Buy us a coffee. We almost have enough to buy the things that we need.
Yeah. But, you know, we still need more. We'd love to have our own little studio someday. Mm-hmm. We're still working towards that goal. And next week, we're going to have some more stories for you guys.
But positive love
positive
stories.
Positive love stories. Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.